Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I was an honored guest along with TikTok microstar Bolin at this new group in the city called Meteor Queers. Like, why am I an honored guest? I talked about the podcast, but I didn't know what to do with that. But it was fun. Community.
You felt the fame. You're becoming famous. How does it feel? How did it feel to be the guest of honor? Did you feel like you were better than everybody else at the party?
Kim has entered the podcast.
Literally Gaysian.
Literally Gaysian.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We're back. I want to do a Poltergeist reference, but I know everybody's too young for that.
I think I'm too young for that. I have no idea what you're talking about. But you're tuning into season two, the premiere of Literally Gaysians, where two gay Asian guys, aka Gaysians, get real about their feelings and literally Gaysian shit. I'm Bao, and this is my co-host, our Nero Spicy King, Chris.
I don't know why TikTokers created this phrase. It's everywhere now. But you know what they call you, though? They don't say neurotypical anymore. You're neurobasic.
I have not heard that one before. You know, I don't know if some of these terms are created by actual people on TikTok, or if, like, because TikTok shop is just so, like, everywhere now that, like, advertisers are actually making that stuff up to sell you, like, a gummy supplement to focus
on your work. Nothing's real anymore.
What is real anymore?
Anyways, I can't believe we're in our second season. It feels like it's been a couple of weeks we took off, but it's really, what, 3 months? Mm-hmm. And it's wild how this started as something to do while you were unemployed, and now we both are, and it's been a year later. But it kept me busy and gave me someone to talk to during the week when everybody else was at work.
I missed these. I missed these because I realized for those 3 months, I didn't talk to you as much. And I just didn't know all the good gossip from SF anymore. Because one of my favorite things to do on this podcast after we stop recording is be like, so what's up? What happened this weekend? Any kind of juicy hookups? Anything happen? I also miss, especially since I don't have a therapist anymore, just a place for me to force people to listen to my feelings. And so I'm glad this is back.
The world is your therapist. I also lost my therapist when we started this because, you know, ran out of insurance, layoff. So you telling me to share my feelings to all these strangers is, I guess, great for my mental health. So if you've just recently found us, you can go back and catch up with our shenanigans for the first season. And if you've been with us for the ride, we'll continue to load up this season with corny puns, unhinged hot takes, and complicated feelings that Bao forces me to talk about.
And also, of course, guests that we're super excited about, like our first guest. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, two new exciting updates. Drum roll, please. We got budget for sound effects now.
We're on YouTube. Hopefully, if we get our shit together in time, Bao, don't forget to edit this out if we don't. Mm-hmm. But we've heard from you that you want a YouTube version. So we're trying this out. I even had to put out makeup on. And it makes us super nervous, but I think we both secretly love being on screen and the thrill of having more ways to be canceled.
So you can see us attempt to cancel ourselves on Literally Gaysians on YouTube. So go and subscribe.
Okay, more update shit. Drum roll, Bao.
Hold on. Where? I need to find it. Okay.
We're starting a new way for you to support us. And this is something that surprised me a lot of you have asked for.
This is a very painfully independent podcast. Chris and I produce this ourselves.
Well, Bao does.
And other podcasts, they have budgets, production companies, producers, people editing, people recruiting guests, people talking to advertisers.
We've been using a shady Adobe subscription to put this together.
It's so bootleg.
We bought these mics and ring lights on our severance money on Black Friday, and this one stopped working. That's why I'm lit so poorly.
And we're still unemployed.
Okay, yes, that. My mom still keeps insisting I buy a house and have kids. And I'm like, in this economy with this inflation and these interest rates, it's not going to happen.
A long setup for us to tell you that we started a Patreon.
Patreon!
Patreon. So it's a chance for you to support us chaotic, unemployed, but well-meaning Gaysians. Because we put a lot of time and thought into putting this together. We brainstormed topics and we beg guests to come on here for free.
So when you subscribe to us on Patreon, you're helping us fund this independent project run by two very unemployed queers.
And you'll get access to exclusive Patreon content and merch. More on that soon. In the meantime, if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/literallygaysians to subscribe.
And if you have ideas of what you want to see on our Patreon, message us on our IG. Tell us what you want. Stickers of my butthole, stickers of my hemorrhoids.
I think we should do like a grocery tote with cruising in H Mart.
Yes.
So you know I said that H Mart on Western is known for cruising? So it's off Sniffies. So it's not on Sniffies anymore. But I went to pee in that H Mart one day and I took a little peek into like the big stall. There were three pairs of shoes in there. I heard like a flap, 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 flap. They looked like size 8 to 12 shoes. So I think...
No, it was a parents changing the diaper of their child.
Got it.
Or it's sure. Role play. It's role play.
Yeah. Okay, now on to the show and our guest. You know her as a top three runner-up on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8.
Even before she was on the show, we followed her on Facebook. Yes, people used Facebook back then because she's a Gaysian icon.
She's also a beauty boss, the CEO and founder of Kimchi Chic Beauty. Also a fellow Gaysian podcaster and co-host of the Foodie Podcast, One for the Table, with John Kung, who was also a guest on this podcast last season.
And because of one fateful and messy night starting in the Castro in the mid-2010s, all became friends.
And for the last few years, this person has been a hilarious, if not super shady, staple of our group chat. And now we get to bring that chaos to all of you.
Do not come for her, or she will destroy you. Welcome our shady sister, Kimchi.
Yay, welcome, Kim.
Oh my
God,
such a long-winded intro. Woo, I'm exhausted just from listening. Well, thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. Listening to a podcast, my favorite thing to do while I'm driving. And I love listening to you guys because obviously you guys are friends and also you guys have such like interesting take on life. And I was like, wow, like when is Totally Gaysians coming back? And Bao's like, oh, it's actually coming back next week. You want to come on? And I'm like, well, I'll be damned.
What a good segue.
How have you been? How was your Lunar New Year?
Oh, well, we actually spent Lunar New Year together, Bao and I. Yeah. But for the listeners, we had a fabulous time. Mm-hmm. We ate dumplings and watched like the tiger dance. And oh, Bao went to one of his like five parties that he went to that day.
More on that later.
Such a social butterfly.
Packed Lunar New Year.
Chris, yeah, I haven't actually caught up with you. So what's new with you? What have you been up to?
In this last few months, it's like both nothing and a lot. Like my weekdays consist of existential dread and applying to jobs. And my weekends are trying to make up for those weekdays by hanging out with everyone I possibly can. So like I try to keep my weekends packed, but sometimes, I don't know. I tried to do a dryish January, which felt great and helped reshape my body a bit.
So like no alcohol?
Yeah. Just no alcohol. California sober.
California sober, same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I now have hair again, as you can see, and it's my natural color because nobody was trying to fuck this bleached babe. I went to Dream State, San Francisco, to so-called try new things. I am still transphobic.
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 Just, transphobic.
Just for those people. If you like trance, you can cancel me, but yes. I was an honored guest along with TikTok microstar Bolin at this new group in the city called Meteor Queers. So weird. It sounds as like excruciatingly weird as it was. Like, why am I an honored guest? I talked about the podcast, but I didn't know what to do with that. But it was fun. Community.
You felt the fame. You're becoming famous. How does it feel? How did it feel to be the guest of honor? Did you feel like you were better than everybody else at the party?
Kim has entered the podcast.
And I was trying to be such a good community member. They had food, but they ran out so quickly, and I said I didn't eat.
You know you're gay when you're, like, not eating at parties, trying to keep it cute.
And lastly, I had an amazing time on a last-minute, I got lonely trip to the BPM Music Festival in Costa Rica, which I wish you were both there for. Music was great, and it inspired me a lot to do more visual and musical arts. So maybe y'all both have to come up to San Francisco when you hear me DJ soon.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
We can B2B DJ, Kim.
Yes.
And Bao, I know you had a birthday recently. How'd you celebrate?
So that was the last one in my 30s. So I had not celebrated my birthday since before COVID. But I felt like the last one in your 30s is kind of worth it. So I did that. It was fun. And then after my birthday, I decided to go plant-based and also dry-ish, or maybe like damp or moist. So cutting not like 100% meat out of my diet or 100% alcohol out of my diet, but maybe like 95%. So being that it's me and I'm doing this and I'm an LA girl, it's become my entire personality, as Kim knows.
You're like a white vegan.
Kinda. California vegan. I'm California vegan and I'm California sober. But, you know, I'm kind of acclimating to it. Example, so Lunar New Year, I went to a party with Kim, and then I told Kim, like, I have a couple of things, and I'm ending the night off with a Lunar New Year home pa.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So me neither, but I was like so excited for it. But imagine my sober, plant-based ass at this home pa. And to clarify, it's not just a Lunar New Year home pa. It was like someone's birthday. And first of all, I arrived way too late, like 12:30 or 1. And by the time I got in, everyone was peaking. So I was just walking around, like saying hi to people. And some of them were not even in the state to say hi back. You know, have you been at a party when you're like, hey, how are you? And they're just like, they just look past you and you're like, oh, okay, have a good night.
That was me during Folsom when people came up to me to ask about the podcast. I was looking right past them.
Yes, that like empty glare of like maybe being on another metaphysical plane. Some people were just right there. Mm-hmm. But I was actually having a good time. But I was probably walking around striking too many conversations and just looking like really maybe dorky or corny, because people were like, one person after another was like, hey, are you okay? Are you doing okay?
You look too sober.
I look too sober. I realized like sober was written all over my face. I was bringing the vibe down. So I was like, that's my cue to go. It was still fun.
Was it shirtless, Humpa?
Shirtless and pantless, yeah. It was one of those ones where you do check your clothes into. I think, and some people didn't because, you know, we brought inclusion here and whatever anyone's comfortable with. But it was still fun. I wish I could partake. But, you know, like when you, I was like, oh, I have a long day tomorrow. It's one of do I want to take a pill right now? And you're just like, no, let's just see how far I can get. And that's apparently how far I can get. Probably 45 minutes. But let's get back to Kim.
Me?
Yes. Uh-huh. Like, we've been friends for, what, 7-ish years now? How did we all meet? And what was your first impressions of us?
So it's really random how we met, but I was doing a gig in San Francisco. And after the gig, I was just, like, out in, like, full drag. And then another drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. She wasn't like booked at the gig, but she was just there in full drag as well, all fucked up and drunk. And then one of our mutual friends was just like randomly like walking home or something. And then he came up to me and was like, are you Kim Chi? Can we take a photo together? And I was like, sure. Oh. And then while we're taking a photo together, this other drag queen stole his wallet out of like his pocket because she was so drunk.
My God.
I'm not going to say who.
Y'all can guess.
So anyways, I had to like take the wallet back from her and like give it back to him. And then I think it was like 2 or 3 months after, I came back to San Francisco again to perform with Bob and Naomi.
And I guess it was this person's birthday. So he brought all of his friends to this club during the day.
I remember that.
And they were the only ones there.
We were the only ones there.
It was like the most like bizarre gig I ever did, because we had to like fly from like Peru or something and then like go to this like morning gig. And there was like 20 people. And Bob, Naomi, and I were like, what is happening? Like, what? Like, it was like a beautiful
day.
Yeah,
we were the meet and greet line.
Yeah.
We eventually were like, well, each of us can take a photo with you one by one.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, like, I'm almost done with the gig. What are you guys doing after? And they're like, oh, we're just like going out, you know, around San Francisco. And I was like, can I come party with y'all? And I did. And then I never got on my flight the next day.
Yeah. I think you kept changing the flight. And then eventually you were to take a nap. Yeah.
Wasn't that the first flight you missed?
Okay, so like I'm like so professional, I'm so punctual. I've only ever missed three flights in my life, out of like many years, you know, like that I've been traveling for. Two of them were in San Francisco.
You're welcome.
Most people know you from Drag Race, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've gotten this question a million times about, like, how was it to compete on season 8? So maybe we'll do something different, but just need to check first, like, has your NDA expired or are you still, like, kind of under NDA?
You know, I always see on, like, Drag Race Reddit and things about, like, they can't say anything, like, they have an NDA, but I'm like, do they really? I don't think World of Wonder, like, really cares. I mean, there was, like, a queen who spoiled the entire season and... You know, like, they didn't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it was still early in season 8. They didn't know what to do with themselves yet.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like if they were truly business people, you know, like, all the queens, when they go on the show, like, we'd be handing over a percentage of our earnings, like, to the show, like, other reality shows do.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, you know, certain shows like American Idol, you know, like, I mean, I guess you wouldn't know. You know, like...
I wouldn't know. It's been 20 years. They didn't have those contracts back then either.
Yeah, I guess I'm lucky to be an early. I don't know what's happening with current season, but yeah, I don't think NDA would still be a thing for me.
Yeah. Well, then give us an unhitched story about something that happened during the season that you haven't shared before. I actually have an idea of a story, but maybe you don't want to go there.
Why? What is it? Tell me.
Do you know your finale performance?
Mm-hmm.
What was their original idea? so maybe, do you want to go there or no?
I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, but
okay, never mind. Then we'll do another story.
Yeah, think of something. You got another one.
I mean, overall, like, my time on the show was pretty positive. Like, I genuinely had fun while I was shooting. I mean, I feel like that's such like a boring like PR answer, and that's not what you want. But like, I had a great time. Like, years later, you know, like, does anyone even like care about like behind the scene drama that I barely remember? You know, why don't we talk about something more interesting? You know, I was recently accused of being a Zionist. How about that? Is that interesting?
Oh yeah.
Wait. Okay. I am not caught up on this. Someone said that. I was like, not my Kim. What happened?
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, like, to make it clear, I am not a Zionist. You know, free Palestine.
But, ceasefire now.
Yeah, absolutely. Ceasefire now. But back in, like, last October, Biden posted a thing about, like, hostages. And I, like, you know, ignorance is bliss. I just, like, didn't know much about this topic. And I was like, oh, hostages, that's terrible. And I just shared. I just, like, reshared in my Instagram without even thinking about it. Who would have known, like, that would, like, oh, that would start, like,
the cancel queens were coming for you.
No, honestly, like, people are like, oh, Kimchi's a Zionist, like, she's sharing this, like, fake Western propaganda, you know, like, boycott her, like, cancel her. And then every day, like, my inbox would just be filled with messages of people going, like, you're a Zionist. God. Like, you know, you're just, like, a dumb fact. Like, your parents would be ashamed of you. Like, you need to die. And just, like, oh, my God.
And then, like, oh my God, people are the worst.
And then when, like, the gigs will announce me, they're like, I cannot believe you're bringing a Zionist here. Like, you need to do some more research on your people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I don't really, like, own an explanation to these people, because clearly I'm not a Zionist. And I have, like, nothing to like benefit or like gain from being a Zionist, you know? But then, you know, it just kept like escalating. So then I was just like, all right, so like, let me just explain myself. And I said, I'm not a Zionist, you know, like that was just like a mistake. I didn't know much about the topic. And people are like, well, it's too late, you know, like, like, and it's like not good enough. But I'm just like, what do you want from me at this point? Do you actually want me to be a Zionist? So like, you're justified in vilifying like this random Korean person. And it's like, why don't you put that effort actually into holding the politicians accountable? You know, like they're the ones, you know, who's like funding billions of dollars into.
Yeah, I agree. Like a lot of energy seems to be getting put into so many people that, well, like you, we don't really matter. We don't matter in this case.
I mean, the grand scheme of things, you know, like I can raise awareness, but like I am not the one that makes these decisions, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like people are like, kill the witch, kill the Zionist witch. And I'm like, I'm not a Zionist. Like, what do you, like, I don't know what else.
But you are a witch.
I mean, it made you want to stop checking your comments for a while, right?
Yeah, so I just like stopped reading like all the comments, and I'm like, it's just like completely false thing, and people are just going off of one share on Instagram story. Like, it's nothing ever like a mistake for people anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because like you reshared this one thing without like looking deeper into it. Like, am I forever branded as this thing that I'm not?
I'm glad you finally said something. I think maybe people have changed from you are a Zionist to you were a Zionist.
But I was like, what is that accomplishing? Okay, like, again, I'm not a Zionist. What if I was? Okay, so what? So what now? Like, you know, what are we doing?
What are they going to do to you? Yeah.
But anyways, sorry, I didn't know why I just like went off on a tangent about that.
No.
Anyways, season 8. It was great.
I think this would be a good place for transition music.
How about this? In addition to being a former Zionist.
Oh my God. People are going to think that I'm a Zionist.
So in addition to being not a Zionist.
To being accused of a Zionist.
In addition to being a non-Zionist or a drag queen, you're also a makeup mogul. Oh, transition.
Yes. Oh,
look at that segue.
Yeah. Is that the template for the Drag Race to Makeup Mogul pipeline? So tell us how that all happened. Because, like, I think you founded the company when we had first met, and like, I can't believe how big it's become.
It's always been my goal to like get into the makeup business. And actually, I was planning on launching something when season 8 was airing. You know, like I had like meetings with like the labs and all this.
Oh, you were deep into it early then.
Yeah. But I think everything like happens for a reason. Because I really got busy during that season. And then I also had like a fallout with my like old agency. So like I don't think if I like launched it like around that time, I don't think it would have like worked out the way things have worked out now. Mm-hmm. Toni Ko, she's the founder of NYX Cosmetics. Previously, she wanted to get into DragCon. So we collaborated on a sunglass line before. After she sold NYX Cosmetics, she had a non-compete clause like in the makeup industry. So she had a sunglass line, where we collaborated. And then when her non-compete clause was ending, she reached out and say like, hey, want to launch a makeup company together? And I was like, absolutely, you know, to be able to like do someone who's like a legend in the business. Well, one thing led to another, and Kimchi Chic Beauty is now at your local CVS, JCPenney, or TikTok shop.
Kimchi the entrepreneur.
Because when I, like, my goal was, when I first started doing drag, I'm an artist who likes to work with as different many colors and medium as possible, but drag makeup just like was not a thing back then. You know, like the products were really expensive. The pigments were like not that great. I wanted to create great products at an affordable price point, which is like the foundation of Kimchi Chic Beauty. You know, I believe we are truly inclusive. It's meant for like drag queens to women to even like women who like subtle things. We got something for everybody in our range.
I still remember when my friend Joshua kept sending me your Facebook posts before you got into Drag Race. And I was so impressed by your makeup. And he would yell at me all the time, don't you? Why is she doing everything you're doing, but 10 times better? And so my drag mother kept holding me up to an expectation to be as good as you. And well, clearly that did not happen.
You know, that's actually really funny you say that, because when I started doing drag, one of the people that was sort of like my mentor in all of this, he was a photographer in Chicago. He would always send me like links and photos of like the Rice Rockettes in San Francisco.
He's like, there's
this amazing like drag troupe. And this is back in like 2012, 2013.
Oh my God. That's when I discovered you.
Yeah. And it's like, look at what they're doing. So then after like meeting y'all and finding out you're like part of like the Rice Rockettes, it just fully felt like full circle.
Aww. That's so funny. Like, one of my favorites from then was you made this Dorito bag dress. And I was mad because you made it before I did. And then one day we see you on Drag Race and you blew up.
I remember your photo shoot when you closed your eyes and it was the anime eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like that was like the first like version of that I'd ever seen in my life. And it was so amazing.
And then 2 months later, don't you try it. In a world without kimchi chic beauty pigments.
I was using ELF, eyes, lip, face makeup with brushes that I stole from my mom. And I didn't know what fixer and powdering was. So when I opened my eyes and closed them again, the eye was gone. The anime eyes were just, it was just my eyes and a lot of smudged.
They kept disappearing. And we like did a little like meme on our group chat of like, your picture, Kim. And it was like, expectation. Don't show us reality.
No. We got to post that photo somewhere.
I know. We got to find that.
Oh my God, I would love to see it.
It's going
to
be that key art. It'll be our key art for this episode.
Oh, that'll be a good key art for the episode.
Oh, poor Don Chow. I love Don Chow.
I'm a monster queen, and that's it. That's all. I'll live in that. I'm never gonna be a makeup artist. I just put on makeup.
No, but it's your spirit. What I love about like Chris / Don Chow is, it doesn't matter where we go, Don Chow would always like finish out the party. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter how many people we've lost along the way. Don't you? We'll be there till the end.
I'll be to the end, picking up all the bottles, just like sharing all the goodies that I've got. I don't get much sleep.
Did you guys ever watch like Doraemon, like the like cartoon?
No, I know of it, but I didn't watch it as a kid.
So Doraemon always like pulls out like really like random gadgets that no one's ever heard of that have like very specific uses.
Oh my God, that's me.
And Chris, yeah, like wherever he goes, he's always pulling out some like weird light things or like random like deck of cards or just like things that are just so specific. And I'm like, where did you even buy this? But he carries so much of it with him. And I'm always fascinated in what Chris is going to pull out wherever we're at.
I mean, next time we see each other, I have a new tarot deck. They're the Meryl Streep tarot. I'm gonna give you a reading from it. This is after I did the Golden Girls tarot deck that I did brought last time.
Love it. Like you're literally a live action Doraemon.
And Don't just stays up so late that when I wake up the next day, he's still going. So he stays to the end so much that he's actually the beginning.
Yeah,
that's kind of meta.
Everywhere, everything all at once.
And also, whenever I talk to Don Chow, like, on the weekend, his response is always like, oh, yeah, I haven't, like, slept yet.
Yeah.
Like, when do you ever sleep? Like, when? You don't sleep.
Daylight. I'm like, I guess I'm a vampire.
So we were talking about just how we were kind of fans of you before we met you.
There's something that I'll never forget. After I became friends with all of you, this fact that, that all of you guys told me when all of you were fucked up. It's like, Bao's the only one that voted in the fantasy drag race for you to win season 8.
Oh my God.
Who told? I don't even remember that. But who? Ooh,
I don't remember. Don't Someone just, blurted don't out. And I'm like, oh. And I like just felt like so awkward. I'm like, okay, thank you, Bao.
And the rest of y'all didn't believe in me.
Let me just say, I won.
But then you needed to, but
that fantasy drag race, I got a whole like bag of money, I did much better than I usually did that year.
Val, how could you?
I did pick you as the winner. And also, I watched Roscoe, so I'm a pretty devoted Drag Race fan. And, so, and the time, Kim, that you found out that we watched the Roscoe's viewing, you looked like you were like fight or flight.
No, first of all, you looked like they were at my house. And we watched like the current episode of Drag Race, whatever it aired. And afterwards, they're like, let's watch Untucked. And I'm like, sure. Put on the Untucked. And after Untucked was over, they're like, okay, now we got to watch Roscoe's. And I'm like, I mean, I love Roscoe's, and I've been there many times, but I was like, I didn't know you were like that, like, fan.
And while we were watching it, she kept going like, wow, you guys watch Roscoe's? Like, the like subtext, the subtitle I saw was like, you guys are fucking losers. No. Not everyone watches Roscoe's. I definitely do. But I like have this like funny idea in my head, like that Kim just like is like tentatively not sure whether I have like infiltrated her life as like a Drag Race stalker
or not. Like a super fan has infiltrated my home.
It's like, is this a friend or a foe?
It's like one of those spy things, like, oh no, I'm showing my cards. She knows I watch Roscoe's now.
But because that's like some like deep into like fandom things, you know? Yeah. To watch all those like in a row.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I felt like my ears got hot when you like looked at me. I was like, oh.
It's all, don't show the side of me. Don't show the side of me.
Exposed.
Oh, maybe a transition to a Drag Race stalker question.
Okay, so Roscoe's aside, are you watching the current season? Do you have any thoughts on any of the queens?
Oh, this season actually has been refreshing, and I've been... So I was starting to kind of like fall out of a Drag Race because every season it's gotten just so formulaic. But this season actually has been giving to me. It's been like unpredictable and who's going to go home. All the queens, their personalities are great. Their runways are great. Obviously, like I love Nymphia, you know, like I love my Asian queens, like representation always matters. And also she's just like a really amazing queen on top of it. But aside from Nymphia, I have like a soft spot in my heart for Plasma. Like I love like theater queens. Like
same.
Would you say theater
the queens? You know, like when you go like see them live, they're gonna be doing like the most. They're gonna give you like impersonations, and then they're gonna like banter with the audience for like 20 minutes, and then followed by like another like number, usually like New York, New York, or Defying Gravity for no reason. And then, like, and next month, like, they're coming back to your town with their, like, one-woman show, which, you know, will be, like, fun as hell.
Plasma's face just really stands out, even as a boy. Like, that face is just, like, so, like, photogenic for, like, TV. And at the risk of sounding like a Drag Race super fan again, have you seen Plasma's music video for Don't Rain on My Parade?
Yes, I love it.
It is.
It's the budget on that.
So high production. She's the Rachel from Glee.
Oh my gosh, she totally is like the Rachel Berry of drag.
Yeah, I mean, to just rent that boat and then another boat for the camera to do that last shot. I was like, this queen has budget.
She put a camera person in the trunk of a car. Like, how rude is that? So
fun. Who are your favorites?
Obviously Nymphia, mostly because I have a crush on her. And putting this out there, if you're listening,
you leave her alone. She's a hardworking, honest person.
I'm a big Nymphia fan. I'm going back and forth about the so-called plain. I hate saying plain when it should be Jane.
But actually, I love plain Jane.
I love hate her.
I feel like plain Jane keeps the season so like interesting for me. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure like a lot of it is just like put on, but I feel like this is what the show has been missing, a purposeful villain. I don't even care if she's like putting it on for the camera, like fucking put it on for the camera. Like, I want pointless, you know, like confrontations and like monologues and like coming for people. Honestly, what Drag Race has been missing the past like several seasons is alcohol. I feel like a lot of these drag queens, you know, like they all work in nightclubs and, you know, like they thrive like under the influence of alcohol. And, you know, they barely get like a full drink nowadays. And You know, I just want...
It's just those covered up cans now of whatever it is. They don't even have those absolute, like, sponsors anymore.
Like, I just want them to, like, pump them full of alcohol and just, like, let them, like, have it in untucked. You know, like, don't bring out the special guest. I don't want to hear, like, some random pop star telling them, like, you matter. No. Give them alcohol. Yeah. Please. Like...
This coming from the queen that doesn't drink, so that you can sit on the side and just like throw I'm people like, under the bus.
I'm absolutely. Like, Kimchi didn't need alcohol for the jokes. She had plenty of jokes without the alcohol.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So, before Kimchi, what was your life like? What's the story behind Little Boy Sang? Can we say that online? Do you care?
Yeah. I don't care.
Well, you grew up in Korea and then the Midwest as Little Sang. What was that like?
So I was born in America, but I went to elementary school in Korea. And then I went to middle school and high school here in Michigan. Not here in Michigan, but over there in Michigan. But also 1 year in high school, I also lived in Korea as well. And then I moved to Chicago.
So cultured.
And then I was working as a server in a fine dining restaurant and also as a graphic designer. And then drag happened and I quit both of those. And then 2 years after doing drag, I got on Drag Race and then boom shakalaka.
Wow. How did you discover the drag? How when you say drag happened, like why did it happen?
I tell people all the time I'm an accidental drag queen. I did it for fun on Halloween with Pearl. We practiced our makeups for like a month before we went out. And the first night we went out, we got booked for a show.
Really? Wow.
And then like a month later, there was like a circuit party. Then we just went to the circuit party like in full drag. And they asked me to be their host. And I got hired to be their host. And next thing you know, I was hosting every single one of their party. And then... I was also working as like an art director for the party eventually. And then I started getting like a lot more drag bookings. And
I did not know this about you. I like the up and coming Kimchi story.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my life was like right place, right time kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess some luck takes like a big factor, you know, in life too. Like how we met, you know? It's just out of like crazy luck.
And one thing I do love about you is like you're a Gaijin, basically. Like you care about the community, Asian community a lot.
The first time I ever felt like I was Gaijin was when we like all hung out together for the first time. I remember. After like End Up, is that what it's called?
Yes.
After End Up out.
I forgot we took you there.
Place, I don't know. I don't remember what the
place
is called.
Yes, it is. Yes. You're remembering correctly. We're just wincing. That's all.
Okay. After I End Up, we went to one of our mutual friends' house, and then everybody in this like tiny home was like all Asian, and I'm like, I have never like seen so many like gay Asian all at one time. Like, this is so cool that they have like a community, and you guys are all very like sweet and very welcoming. And then how did the Joshua Tree like trip happen? Like our annual trip. Like, I don't remember how it all got started, but one thing led to another. Somehow we all went to Joshua Tree together for the first time.
I think you just wanted to celebrate your birthday.
And then Rob's birthday's at the same time. And I think you guys were like, let's do a trip. But it was one of the last trips before the pandemic. It was like 2019. That was super fun.
Because we did Joshua Tree once and then another Joshua Tree after that, then pandemic, and then Big Bear, was it?
Yeah.
I think the second Joshua Tree was after the pandemic. It was like 2021. Mm. And then 2022 was Big Bear. And then we were PV this year.
And then we were PV, And this year, we're possibly talking about going back to Joshua Tree again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love how you, like, after that trip, I was like, a few months later, I was like, she's doing a makeup line inspired by Joshua Tree? Was this a business trip?
No, it was a trip that inspired me to do that line.
Yeah.
Because Naomi was so cute. Two Girls, One Desert was inspired by our time at Joshua Tree.
And I love that palette. It's great.
It's a great palette. I love that palette. I almost said, like, I'll defend that palette to death, but, like, I have nothing. No one is, like, coming after this palette.
I think that's also because I just have fond memories of that time together. Because I think that's when we got to know you more, because we were stuck with each other for several days. Mm-hmm. And you brought this big kimono, because we had a kimono-themed day, because we're, I don't know, that for Asian, like, or photos, racist or something.
You know, like, we all dress up, you know? And then I was like, well, I don't have any of these, like, men kimono, but I have this, like, giant show kimono with, like, a 10-foot train.
It was a whole suitcase out of town.
And you were majestic going around the house and then, like, dragging, like, 10 feet of fabric all around the house with you and the desert. It was
and
so
then
fun.
I threw that kimono away because, I guess there were cactuses, like, all over the yard. So the entire kimono was covered in, like, cactus needles.
No, I didn't know that.
No, it's fine. I mean, I've already, like, worn it around the world. Like, it had a great life.
So when you joined TikTok, I learned about some of your other passions, like food. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, because I was looking for you on TikTok, and it was, I thought, kimchi, but it's Kimchi Eats, and where you give restaurant recommendations, and that got really huge. And now you co-host a food podcast with John Kung. So just like John, we're going to do a quick round of hot takes with you. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
First one, what's your current food obsession?
I love food. But right now, I've been obsessed with many different brothy things. Like, I love, like, waking up in
winter.
I love waking up in chilly morning and then just eat, like, whatever broth that I made the night before. Broth always tastes like the day after you do it, you know, because all the flavors just, like, meld together. So I always, like, try to, like, cook soup at night, but make enough to have, like, last, like, the next morning. I love broth, like, brothy soup, brothy stews, broth.
I should have saved some of the fuga broth that made. And my mom said that it's best the next day and then after you put it in the fridge. Like, it just all, like, just sits together.
And then it's, you, like, bring the boil again and all the flavors just, like, you know, like, we're here.
Yes.
I love that. What's the world's most underrated food item?
The most underrated food item? There's so many, but I feel like... the most underrated food item? There's just so many. I'm just trying to think, like, which one would be, like, the best one. Not in the Asian community, but Asians would understand this. And people who are not Asians do not understand... chicken feet. I think chicken feet is extremely underrated. You know, it's full of collagen, but whatever. I'm not a doctor or nutritionist. I can't tell you about health benefits, but it is really, really good. It can be cooked many different ways. And even if you don't want to eat it, even if you just, like, melt, like, few into your broth, you know, to give it, like, that thickness and that collagen.
It has the most,
like,
flavor.
Yeah.
It has the most flavor, yeah.
And it's so
it's
cheap.
It's a sweetness.
And it's one of those things where, like, I want people to know, but also I don't want people to know, because what happened with chicken wings and oxtails, when people find out about it and it becomes too popular.
The price tripled.
It is no longer affordable. And chicken feet right now, if you go to a grocery store, you can get a giant pack of it for like $2, which is like more than enough to, you know, make like Thai curry or like Korean style brothy chicken feet, or... you can steam it, whatever. Such a versatile ingredient. Very tasty. And if you have dogs, you can bake it in the oven, dehydrate it, and feed it to your dog.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've only had it at dim sum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you've never had it in any other way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's also in the pho broth, but outside of broth, I've only had it at the dim sum.
Oh, we should go to a place, if you're interested, in Cape Town that does really good chicken feed.
Oh.
I want to come.
When I'm off the plant-based, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I know. Well, see, it's my personality. I'm so annoying now.
No, not at all. 95% of the time. The other 5% will go eat with kimchi.
Yes, we'll do it. Well, yes. So I'll save that 5% for chicken feet.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so next question. What's a popular food item that you have an unpopular opinion on?
Okay, so many people are going to come for me for saying this.
Oh, God.
And I'm like scared to even like say this out loud.
Oh.
Burritos are overrated.
No!
Oh, wow. That's unpopular
opinion.
Coming
from San Francisco and the San Francisco burrito style, that is...
You live in L.A.
I know. I know. That's the
reaction. Explain yourself.
Why I'm like always scared to voice this opinion.
Yeah.
But
you're allowed to have that opinion. Go on.
So let me tell you why.
Okay, even if it's wrong.
Okay, so there's several reasons. First of all, I don't, you know, I like flour tortilla, but I don't love it that much. And in burrito, the way it gets folded over, it gets very, there are parts of it and there are bites where it is very flour tortilla heavy. To the point sometimes I just like rip off like the excess flour tortilla and eat it because I feel like it's just like very like dense starch. Not for health reasons, but like even just like the way it feels in my mouth. And it also gets like a little bit gummy after a while in your mouth. And also, a lot of times I find burritos to be very dense and heavy. And usually it's filled with ingredients that are very dense and heavy. Like I love burrito bowls. And I love like tacos or tostada. But in burrito, all the ingredients are basically mashed and jammed in there to become this like heavy block of things. And generally, the ingredients they use in burrito are richer, heavy things like rice, beans, cheese. So it's just like a very heavy, dense item wrapped in a very like heavy, dense starch. And on top of that, whenever I eat a burrito, I end up eating it faster than I want to eat it because I'm someone who likes to eat slowly and enjoy my food. But as burrito's falling apart, you're trying to like eat it before like the next bite falls apart. And when you're putting sauce on it, it just like drips down the side and it gets all messy, especially if like the sauce is runny. I'd rather be able to eat like a taco or something where like the sauce is more manageable and doesn't get too messy. But I feel like burrito is just like big, awkward, dense, and heavy. So I think burritos are overrated. But I see why people like it, and your opinion on burritos valid as well. I just personally prefer to eat things in a different form than a burrito.
I feel like everything you described is everything I like about a burrito, except bad proportions. I hate bad tortilla proportions and bad folding. But I think my favorite kind of foods are every bite that I take is evenly the same. Like such good, every bite, never a bite. So if they fold it wrong and they don't spread the stuff and you get like an all rice bite or something, it's terrible. But if they're the perfect burrito, which is hard to find.
Okay, so the only exception to this is a place called Pancheros. Have you ever had Pancheros?
No.
Where's that?
It's a chain, kind of like a Chipotle, but I think they're like more in the Midwest. So, but I'm like, so when you order a burrito, they press it and grill to order, so the tortilla is fresh. And then after you pick all the ingredients in your burrito, before they fold it over, they mix all the ingredients together, and then they fold it up into a burrito. So then you get like an even amount of toppings in every bite.
I hear you on your opinion. Everyone's entitled to that. I feel you. I hear you. I have not craved meat so badly until you triggered me with the word burrito. Because even when you were hating on it, like my mouth was watering. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's that repressed desire. Because I will order a burrito and a nacho plate when I'm drunk. Like, when I leave WeHo and I'm in the Uber, no matter how messed up I am, I feel like muscle memory, my subconscious just like picks up the phone, goes to Uber Eats, and Uber Eats has the audacity to be like, this is when you usually order Garrigos. Do you want to reverse? And there's a button I can press to reorder the carne asada nacho plate and the California burrito.
Oh my God. Do you remember that one time we were at a house party and you're ordering Mexican food for everybody, but you accidentally ordered it to your home address instead of the party address?
Yes. And it was Garrigos. It was those nacho plates. I mean, I love that nacho plate so much. But yeah. And Uber's like, Uber's probably like, why are you sending it to this house? This is about the time where you have this to yourself. But to your points about the burrito, I do agree. I don't like the ends of the burrito where they fold. So that's why I slice it in half and I eat it from the middle out.
Oh, burrito hack! Burrito hack!
Burrito hack. Because then you get all the middle's the best, right? Because it's where everything is probably the most mixed up. And then and you know when you get to the end and that's not your first bite. Because I think what I hate is that being my first bite.
Yes, and also it cannot be sliced before they deliver it to you because then by the time it gets the tortilla outside, it's like wet from the grease. So it has to come in a full form, but then you cut it right before you eat it.
Even with the foil on, just cut it with the foil still on.
Oh, and so then, it holds the shape.
And then put another foil on that other half if you're a slow eater and put it in the fridge and just like throw it in the microwave or the air fryer later.
And that's another thing. Yeah, I can never finish a burrito, believe it or not. So that's brilliant.
Yes.
I have a half burrito hack. Because you're saying it all spills and gets everywhere. Mm-hmm. As you get the burrito, you cut off the top, like Belle was saying. Then you put it into a mug and just hold the burrito that way. And it keeps the shape of the burrito so it doesn't get all smooshy. But it only works up until you get to the top of the mug. And then you're trying to fish it out.
And then when you like,
and then I'm pouring the rest of the burrito into my mouth, which I've done drunkenly many times and soberly. But that first few bites, it's just so easy. You just hold that mug. Nothing gets everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think one of the only time like I almost had like a panic attack was after I ate a burrito. So I was like flying to Vancouver, and right before like boarding the flight, I had a burrito from like one of those like airport like Mexican place, and then like I found out like I was actually like the flight was already boarding, so I ate it so fast, and it gave me such like the worst indigestion I've ever had. So I was like sitting in the plane and we're already like, you know, like fully up in the air. And like, I literally felt like I was going to die. And I asked him like, do you have any like Tums or like anything? And they're like, no, we have nothing. So then I'm just like sitting in my seat, like feeling like I'm going to like explode. Not like, not my bowels or like anything, but it's just, you know,
just
that
bloated,
like,
yeah.
Your heart is like beating so fast, and like you don't know like how to like control it. I'm like, is this like a panic attack? Like it's like an indigenous like, giving you a panic attack in the air.
Yeah, where like nothing's really in danger, but your body just thinks you're in danger.
Yeah,
that tingle feeling that starts rising through your neck to face.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, you know, as they say in therapy, the body keeps the tea. The body remembers. So that's why probably when you look at a burrito, you're like, the body's just like, what?
It just freezes up. So anyways, my hatred for burrito comes from a trauma.
It's trauma-informed.
I think you should talk to your therapist about that.
I don't have a therapist. Maybe I should talk to one.
I know your intake form. What do you want to work on?
Burrito.
My burrito trauma.
Aside from, we got a lot of other trauma still we could go through.
All right, last one. Number one dish to avoid when you're planning to bottom.
Okay, personally, I'm a true firm believer in...
Firm, no fun intended.
I believe bottom should live their best life. I'm friends with a lot of bottoms, and I've seen so many bottoms skip a meal, starve, be at a restaurant, and just, you know, order alcohol while everyone is like gorging on like delicious food, only to be ghosted or flaked on so that they starve for nothing. You know, like bottoms, stomachs matter too. And you know what? Even if you shit, all tops have to do It's just breathe through your mouth and just wipe it away. You know? So you know what? Life is too short. Don't deprive yourself of the simplest pleasure in life. If you want to eat cheese, you know, if that pizza looks good to you, hell, even if that burrito looks good to you, go on, take a bite because you deserve it. You know, he'll probably flake on you anyway. And, you know, even if he doesn't, it's his lucky day.
You know, hashtag bottoms rights. Yeah.
Painting the bottoms brown. Painting the bottoms brown.
Oh, oh, my God. No, I stopped hooking up because of that. Because sometimes I'm just like, well, if you're not going to be here by 8, then I'm heating up my factor meal. Because I need to eat. And if you're going to come at 10, no, I'm not going to wait that long. And I probably shouldn't. And so I just got sick of all that. So, and I also like block people who say like hygiene is the most important thing. I'm like, then you clean yourself, shit.
Like, wait, they don't mean it's just showering? Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
It means hygiene, quote unquote.
I almost hooked up with my Uber Eats delivery person back in Chicago. But okay, mm-hmm. So I got an Ethiopian food delivered. Mm-hmm. And I was like so excited to eat it. And when he came, he's like, oh, you have really nice legs. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're into this? And then he's like, can I touch your leg? And he was kind of cute. And I'm like, okay, sure. And then anyways, he was like touching my legs and he was like trying to like give me a kiss. Then he's like, I have a girlfriend. And I'm like, okay, so you came at me. Like, what are we doing here? All right, do you want to go? And he's like, okay. And then he just left. So then I went upstairs and I just like start eating my Ethiopian food. And then he gives me a call. And he's like, I think I want to come back. But I'm like, at this point, like, I've already eaten like 1/4 of like this Ethiopian meal. Like, my breath smells like hot, like spices. And my stomach's like filled with injera. And I'm like, no, boo.
Like, she missed the golden opportunity.
You had your moment. You know, like, I'm not trying to, like, make out with you, like, as I'm, like, burping up Ethiopian food.
the sour bread. Uh-huh.
It's time for us to get real. The part of every episode where we word vomit whatever's on our hearts, minds, or holes. And yes, you heard right. We changed it. This segment used to be called Be Real, but now it's Get Real.
It was named after the social media app when we started the podcast in 2022. It was cool at the time. We were trying so hard to be relevant because we didn't know what we were doing. I wanted to call it Got to Be Real, but that was like 10 years old now. Super irrelevant.
Another reference maybe that is it's too old for people. But I think Be Real is dead, right? I don't even have it on my phone anymore.
I deleted it.
I think I deleted it. See, I can't even remember. And people used to share the Be Reals to the Instagram, which is what I did, which is painfully millennial. But the New York Times wrote about Be Real last year. And this is quote unquote what they said. The spell seems to have broken. Some users have discovered that seeing the monotony of their own lives reflected back at them is compelling for only so long.
Oh my God. That is so sad.
That is a scathing review.
It is a scathing review. And that was already April 2023. We have been saying like Be Real for like another 6 months. So anyways, we're going to retire that. And if you use Be Real, good for you. I'm glad you like to see the monotony of your own life reflected back.
What's
at
next?
You.
I remember when Twitter was dying, people were signing up for Blue Sky. And then I just got an email from Blue Sky like 2 days ago or something saying like, it's opening up. And I'm like, y'all like months too late.
Nobody remembers who you were.
No, I barely remember who they were.
I don't know. So it's going to be like Threads now?
Oh, they have this weird federation problem where they might like cut people out. Like it'll basically be back to censorship. It'll be weird.
Yeah. But Kim, as our guest.
Yes.
Why don't you go first?
Okay.
Time for you to get real. Whatever's on your heart, mind, hole.
Multiple holes.
Wait, I think you guys should go first so I can have an example of what to do. And how real I should get, you know? set the tone for me.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't. It doesn't have to match the tone. You can get as real as you want. Remember, this is your free therapy.
No, I want to. I want to read the room.
Bao, you want to go first? Or you want me?
Sure. Sure, I can go first.
Okay.
Okay. Time for me to get real. I just feel like my life is so wishy-washy and transitional right now. I'm kind of sick of it. There's so much that's just out of my control, and I'm handling okay, like old me, panic attack me, the heart, the burrito Kim me. Would I be in spirals? Probably, because there's a couple of things. I wouldn't move out of my apartment because I don't want to pay this much for this beautiful apartment that's given me so much, but also takes a lot of my income that I'm not making. And so I'm going to be like nearly 40 years old and living with my dad. I'm wrestling with that. And then we're trying to launch the second season, but I'm also like, once we get jobs, like, are we going to have time to do this? And then like, can we still talk about the things we want to talk about when we're like working at these companies? And so I'm a little anxious about that. And I have like another job interview tomorrow, and I'm, yeah, I guess it was really good to get an interview, but I've literally interviewed for 20 jobs in the last 6 months. I've spent 30 minutes on Zoom with 50 people. I am like super exhausted, and people are starting to get hired who are unemployed with me. And I'm 1,000% really like happy that they're getting the jobs and everything, but it just makes me spiral. Like, it's just me. I'm doing something wrong. I just suck. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, this is never ending. So I'm a little anxious. I'm overwhelmed. I don't regret like taking the year off, obviously, because I mean, I was able to do a lot of things. But I do think, like, when I talk to other jobless millennials, there's a lot of us that are laid off at the moment. I think we're all just feeling like we would, when we were 20, I think when we looked at 39, we thought we'd be at a different place in our lives. And what mm-hmm. is the day in, day out of like, okay, well, I guess I'm not buying a house. I guess I'm not married yet or have a partner. It's not like I want those things, but it's sort of like, okay, 39, jobless, going to move into my dad. Like, where am I? What am I doing? And it just feels like I'm starting over. And it makes me like miss my therapist a lot. So that's my roundabout way of very, very shamelessly plugging that you should support this podcast by subscribing to our Patreon. This editing, this recording, the hosting of all this costs money. So we're not even paying Kim. Kim is here like for charity, basically, and because she loves us. But this is, yes, you know.
And we love her.
Please hire them. Please. Please hire them so they can they have enough money to come to our getaway in August.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or else we're going to start a GoFundMe.
But give them like the weekend off in August if you're going to hire them. Yes. So they can actually come too.
Thank you. So that's what's going on with me. I am not like some days I spiral about it. Okay. The days I spiral about it is credit card payment due date. Like, then you, like, see that, like, disappear from your bank account. And you're like, oh, or, like, rent due date. I'm very privileged to have enough money saved up to do this. But, ooh.
It still hurts.
That day always hurts. And
what if you
today,
just paid the minimum?
It took me a long time.
Don't. That's not confirmed. No. I'm not promoting this at all.
Uh-oh. I was like, the paid Chinese off, and off, me. My Chinese uh-huh. family would... Oh, interest. Oh,
I am.
I was about to come
I'm totally
for you.
Kidding. Just to be totally clear to everyone.
Also, this is no knock on the Gaijin folks that do that. Mm-hmm. It's just that I do not.
I was that Gaijin in my 20s, and it hurt. And I know, you know, it's like LinkedIn is too depressing to be on right now. And you realize, mm-hmm. like, it puts things in perspective. Some people are like, I have 3 kids. I've been jobless for nearly 2 years. We've cleared out our savings, maxed out our credit cards. And so I'm like, I'm not there. And I realized that I'm very lucky to be kind of where I'm at. But it is, some days are just hard. And you should subscribe to our Patreon.
And hire us.
And hire us. Yes. Please hire us. Offer in hand. Let me just sign something. How about you, Chris? It's time for you to get real.
Oh, God. So, like, It's interesting hearing you say that because it's the same. And I don't want to be one of those people who just say, oh, yeah, same as her, and that's it. So, but mine's, I guess, is a little bit less about feelings because I've been trying to actively avoid them recently so I don't get into these spirals. But
it's hard.
I mean, that's what I mean. That's why I went to Costa Rica, because I got too deep into these, like, oh, what am I doing with myself? So I just wanted to go off and have some fun. But recently, something on my mind is kind of what you brought up. It's like, oh, like, what about dating? And it's not about dating. It's something on my mind lately is sleeping with people, but the literal sleeping with people. So, like, we've talked about dating on this podcast, and I've done so little of it lately, and but so much changes as I get older when I attempt to do it. For instance, like, I still can't allow people to get in my bed if they haven't showered. Just no outside clothes. I know that's like, people have this weird thing about it. Like, why not? But they can't be gross. But then last year, I got diagnosed with sleep apnea. And then
my
high five, virtual high five. But my insurance ran out, so I couldn't complete the rest of the study and get the machine. And so our friend Gil, he gave me his. He couldn't sleep with it, and I found that I can barely sleep with it. So, and I look like a lesbian scuba diver when I wear it, and I can't even get a successful night of sleep in it. But then if I'm to have a sleepover, if some guy comes over, what am I going to do? It's so ugly. I got to worry what I look about when I'm awake and when I'm asleep. And then, so this past weekend, I had my first sleepover in, I don't even know how long. It's been years.
Like a hookup sleepover?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I had to hide the CPAP. I took out my Invisalign because I'm not going to wear that to sleep. I had to describe to him why I don't sleep with blankets because I run hot at night. So, like, I just use the sheets, and why I listen to this specific brown noise track, like, to help me go to sleep. Like, it is the most unhot thing to talk about to somebody, like, trying to sleep. So, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, yes, I need a job, but also, how am I going to sleep with somebody? I'm snoring out of to the goddesses. It's just, it's not cute. That's it. That's me. Dating is hard.
I think in the media, there should be more sleep apnea representation, and I think it will take the stigma. No. But there has been two instances.
I had sleep apnea, and the CPAP machine, like, changed my life. Like, I would, like, fall asleep in, like, the most random places throughout the day. One time, like, I fell asleep while, like, I was, like, browsing, like, on my phone, and then I accidentally went live. So there's just like a live video of me just, like, sleeping, like holding my phone.
That was art.
And then, like, on TikTok, like, if I fall asleep, like, while browsing TikTok, it'll just, like, automatically, like, accidentally send a bunch of, like, random videos to random people. And then the next morning, I'd wake up and explain to people, that was an accident. I accidentally sent that one, you know, while I was, like, dozing off. Ignore that. It's like, why did you send me, like, a video of, like, this, like, Vitaly ad? And I'm like, I didn't mean to.
Because you're gay.
Yeah. But anyways, but then CPAP machine, like, I don't... Like, I rarely nap, except for today. I don't know why.
We should explain that Kim was late to this because she woke up in her bed joining the podcast room.
Yeah. So I was, like, laying with my, like, dog, and I was petting my dog, and the dog was, like, on my chest. And I was like, oh, this is so nice.
No, but that's so comforting.
Yeah.
You didn't fall asleep because you're tired. You are loved.
Exactly. But anyways, what I'm trying to say was CPAP machine changed my life, but... I want it to be normalized and up to the point where they start making, like, cuter CPAP machine.
Yes.
You know, like, because
like they're a Sanrio version.
Yes, they're very, like, industrial looking, and they're, like, big, bulky, and, like, beige, and, like, ugly. You know,
I can totally see like our place making like a minimalistic like CPAP machine that comes in like lavender or sage green.
Oh, just make sure you don't have one of those evil Philips ones that gives people lung cancer.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I will send you that info later. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to die. This is why I have anxiety about even using a CPAP machine.
No, and then, so you know how you're supposed to like fill like the humidifier with water? I just like kept coughing like even more like after I would use it. And then I looked and I found like black mold in the humidifier.
No. Ooh.
So,
wait, did you have the Philips one?
No. Oh. But, you know, because, like, the water, if it does not get evaporated, it just exists there. So then I got, like, a whole new thing, like, a whole new machine. And then now I just use it without putting any water in it because it works just as fine. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I guess I'll start using it. I'm going to try again.
It does take some getting used to. But maybe try putting... So the CPAP machine is only hard, I realized, if you're not wearing it correctly. So you know like how it makes like a lot of noise and things? That means your mask is not on properly. If the mask is like tight and secure, then it won't make any noise and you won't notice like any sound going off.
I just bought a chin strap. It sounds like the ugliest thing in the world. I would put it on for you, but I think it's going to be so scary to keep my mouth closed because I'm a mouth breather.
You know, they sell like a full face mask.
I have that. It doesn't. I'm working on it.
Wait, so why is it that doesn't work for you?
I think it goes too strong and it starts blowing in my face and I can't breathe out.
That means you didn't put on the machine properly. That means the mask is not...
because I don't have insurance to have a real doctor set the settings right.
No. There's a website where you can actually order the CPAP like machine parts. I'll send you the link to it where you can like purchase like the proper size mask for your face. And it's only
she's telling me I have a big face. Okay, that's cool.
No, it's only like $25. I'm saying as an experienced user of CPAP, like it'll change your life. I want you to get a good night's sleep. That's all.
I do. Maybe this is why I'm always the last to go to sleep because I know that I'm not going to sleep well. That's why I'm always around checking. You know that every time we've gone on one of these getaways, I'm almost always the last person to go to sleep. And because of my anxiety, I walk around to every one of your rooms to make sure you're all sleeping like nicely.
Oh. John Congan actually talked about this.
I walk
into
your room.
Doing that?
I've crawled on the floor to make sure everyone's alive. It's something I used to do with my like with my dad. I would just listen for the breathing. It's just a weird. I don't know. Is it an OCD thing? I just check to make sure everyone's like alive and breathing, and then I can comfortably go to sleep.
So before
CPAP, you've noticed me do that?
No, so I that's where I was getting at because I would never notice because before CPAP, I'll be the first one to pass out like 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. Like I'm like long gone and I missed like the entire party. And PV, that wasn't an issue because I'll get like full sleep with the CPAP machine. But John was like, yeah, Chris is like this like really nice uncle that checks on everybody before he goes to bed every night. And I'm like, Chris does that? He's like, he does it every night.
Yeah, I can't believe. Well, I guess I'm a heavy walker.
Oh, nice uncle. Oh.
Yeah.
But recently, I do think they need to have more representation of CPAP in the press, in the media. I do want to go back to that because have you guys seen May December?
No.
No, not yet.
I'm not spoiling anything, but you know, Natalie Portman, that character, puts on a CPAP before she goes to bed. And I'm like, this is representation. If more
she's
Natalie
too beautiful
Portman,
to wear one.
That's
she's
real.
Too beautiful to wear one.
That's real.
No one is too beautiful to wear CPAP. If you have sleep apnea, wear CPAP.
It's a little problematic, though, because it was like the butt of the joke to make her look funny. But she looked beautiful in the CPAP. And I don't know if you guys watch Abbott Elementary.
Oh, I was about to say, that was a great representation.
Yeah, she wanted to sleep somewhere completely different because of that CPAP machine. But I think a lot of my friends have CPAP machines, so I don't know. I think a lot of people will listen to this and feel seen and heard.
Yes. So if you're into lesbian scuba divers, DM me, slide into my DMs. I'm right here.
Yeah, so right, if you have sleep apnea, don't worry. You're not alone. You're not stupid or ugly. You just have sleep apnea.
Girl. I'm not sure if that's what people are feeling, but... Okay, Kim, stop deflecting. I think it's your turn.
Okay, to get real. So
keeping it real or be real. What was it again?
Get real.
Get real.
Get real.
I feel like, I don't know, like the last like few years, I've been like in this like weird funk where I was just like really depressed and nothing I did like ever felt fun. Does it sound like depressed?
Well, sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
No, sorry, we're not fun. Just kidding.
No. You guys are, I mean, I'm not saying like all the time, but just like, you know, there are just like moments where like I'd want to do things, but then, you know, like I'd be lonely, but also I wouldn't want company at the same time. But just recently, and I'm like, all right, I'm so tired of feeling like this. Like I miss like the vibrant, fun person that I used to be. So then I just like, I don't know, just started taking care of myself, you know, like getting more routine and going to the gym and then just like trying to go to as many like social things as possible. And it's actually making like a world difference to like my mental health. And I'm like, yes, I love being around people. I love doing things with people. Like, you know, like this is what I like keep need to be doing. So my goal for 2024 is just be as social as possible and just living my full life.
It's your year of yes.
That's year of yes. This is a reminder, everyone, invite Kim to everything.
No, like everything. I'll probably come.
Yeah. Do you think some of that are side effects of lockdown? Do you think like we got so used to being alone?
You know what? You might be right. Because
I think I had that feeling too.
Me too. I had the exact feeling.
Because
after lockdown.
Like before the lockdown, you know, I would get on a flight every day, basically. But after a lockdown, the idea of getting on a flight would give me so much anxiety. And if it's like a gig that's like so far away, like I wouldn't accept the gig because like even just going to the airport and getting on that flight would give me so much anxiety. And it's only until like recently that I can like start getting on flights like normally again and not feel like I want to like die. Like when I see like the itinerary pop up on my like calendar. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think that's a real thing. I think it's a side effect of that's hitting all of us. But I finally feel like we're all sort of starting to like disconnect from that.
Yeah. And I really feel you on that because I feel like this Christmas or this past holiday, I finally started feeling I loved these holidays. Like this past holiday, like the parties were so fun all the time with my family. I started feeling like normal about social situations again because during the pandemic it was like, first of all, I'm not used to not, you know, I used to be, I guess before the pandemic I was probably that person that said like I will always say yes to going out because I'll do it for the plot, but then the pandemic like was really uncomfortable for me, then I got used to it and it was okay, and I think I was okay with it as long as everybody else was also inside. Like same. I'm okay with staying home if everyone else is staying home. So if there's like a snow, like a rainstorm, everyone's home, then I feel so luxurious at home. I'm like, I have a list of things I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna cook through your elaborate meals just because I know everyone else is inside.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you're saying this because I feel the same way. It's not FOMO when nobody else can do anything.
Yeah. So it was great. And then, but it's FOMO when you don't have anything to do and then you're on Instagram stories. So Instagram stories is like the number one thing to like mess you up, and I started feeling that in 2021. We were used to staying indoors and suddenly things were opening up again, and then like people starting to go out in Instagram stories again. And in LA it's sort of like you got to be in town. Even Kim has said this to me, I was traveling so much, it's like you're never in town. I'm like, I am in town. Then I'm like, well, you're never in town, Kim. and then I had to make like a concerted effort to be like, I'm not leaving for and I think you do that too, Kim. You're like, I'm not leaving LA
Take
for 2 months,
a self break.
Yeah, and you have to kind of be here to like build a friends. Yeah,
yeah. Like a lot of times, like people just assume like I'm gone like on a weekend and wouldn't invite me to things, and I'm like, no, like I'm here. Like, invite me, love me.
So, and I do think some of it's carryover from lockdown for me, and that like this is the new world. But I'm starting, like you, Kim, just feel a little better about it. And this last Christmas helped me feel that way a little bit more.
That's also good. We're older a little bit.
I'm walking into the HomePod when everyone's peeking and I'm like
But bringing them like the more like older you get, the more like conscious about like what you like put on the internet. No.
Yeah.
I guess not. Never mind.
I'm still bad at it, but yeah. I'm worried. Sometimes I actually wonder if some of the stuff I've posted has affected my job opportunities. Mm. But I'm like, I'm not that special. Who's going to like look up that far any of my stuff? But I mean, it's just a lot of drag. Maybe if they don't like my drag, fine. Fuck them. Mm. But
I was anxious for a while. Well, for these, I finished a couple of job interview panels. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I'm going to wait till I get hired before I tell them that I have this other thing. Okay, so when I used to work at Netflix, everybody came to PR team, which is what I was on, to be like, hey, I have this other side gig. Like, I do this podcast. I run this YouTube show. Because everyone, it's entertainment in LA. So I got used to, like, everyone, even if they're a VP or something, mm-hmm. has this, like, their own creative project. Because a lot of people who work in the entertainment industry at the companies are failed creatives who, like, got to still work in like the entertainment industry. Ooh, like me. But it's but then I just kind of like I'm more used to like this conversations. But mm-hmm. there's some companies I know like that are gonna be more okay with it. Like
conservative. Oh.
Or like a content creator company is probably gonna be a lot more like chill about like the fact that we talked about GHB on this podcast, mm-hmm. which we might remove some other time. Then say like a really old stuffy company that expects like their
like a fintech complaints. Company or something.
I think
they're gonna come.
Yeah,
they're gonna come for a Kimchi and her, you know, ex-Zionism.
Oh my god! No, like
she is not a Zionist. To be clear,
I'm actually like super paranoid every time I post anything, and I think that's also one of the reasons why I like stopped reading comments too. Like the whole like the Zionist debacle just came out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Like this one time, I was like traveling through Asia. And I got these like delicious like curry fish balls from like a street vendor. Mm-hmm. And I posted like, oh my God, I just got these like delicious curry fish balls. They're so good. They're only like $3. The portions were so big, I couldn't even finish it all. And then people took that screenshot and then they were discussing online. They're like, I cannot believe kimchi throws away food. And all these people are like, yeah, really? Like when I was like raised, you know, like I was telling you, like, you need to eat everything. I said nothing about how I threw these like fish bowls away. I just said I couldn't finish it because I was sharing with friends, and my friends mm-hmm. ate the rest of it.
People like, skew everything.
But I'm like, people just like love want. To like make something out of nothing, and they fully like villainize me as this like evil like person who just tosses away food.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We can relate to that because you have millions of followers, and we have.
Mm-hmm. I can think of the story.
Yeah, we're like, we have like, and our real opinions, we keep to a podcast that not very many people listen to, and like behind some like close friends things on, and we're not even on Twitter. But
no, we're not going to get on Twitter. Yeah. X. Formerly Twitter.
I do feel like that's a really small percentage of people who think those crazy things about you. Most of
Whereas
those millions
the majority
of followers
people
yeah.
love you. There's just always those trolls. The mm-hmm. trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trolls.
Bao and I did a whole episode on trolls.
Yeah. We got all these trolls. We got the first taste of people being... Because TikTok is just kind of weird. Because we posted some video of like one of our guests saying... We asked him, how is it like to date a white guy? And then he had something to say about it. And then, of course, all the comments are like... Just, oh, of course these three guys, of course Asian guys only, Asian people only like white people. They hate their race. They don't find other Asians or POC. Though this is obviously anti-blackness because they didn't even mention black people. And then we decided to try to do an episode on it, but I think mm-hmm. we were just like, we just didn't know what we were saying, right? We had a guest on, Chris mm-hmm. Laquan, we miss you. We recorded the whole episode and didn't release it. To the two or three people who are like saying that those things, should we release a statement? Like we were talking about this and like show my dating history that I don't just, it's not worth it. And like, wait, I can't, they don't know me. And of course they would, they don't know me. Yeah.
And they don't actually care to know us.
Yeah, even if I skip back.
Okay. Well, if you start explaining yourself, you know, it's like a rabbit hole. You just have to explain everything that you do. But then also, you don't owe these people an explanation. But then also, you won't be like, well, this is not how it is. But then also, I don't know, it's a trap. It's a rabbit hole.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
That's a good note to end on, the terrible internet, which we're about to post this episode on. But that's the time that we have.
I had so much fun being in the podcast with y'all.
Oh, thank you for being on this podcast. Though, for
yeah.
Real.
And I also can't wait to see you like in person so we can have a yes. real burrito together.
Yes.
Cut in the middle.
Oh my God, Bao, should he get burrito after our event tonight?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind ordering one. I'm ready. Carnitas and chicken. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorites.
Bao and Akshay are going to the thing in like an hour.
It's at Beverly's. Okay, we'll Beverly's talk about it later.
Yeah. But thank you. Where can people find me? At Kimchi Chic on Instagram, on TikTok, at Kimchi Eats. And my podcast with John Kong is One for the Table. That is number one for the table. Available on any platform where you can subscribe to podcasts. And my makeup is available for purchase on kimchichicbeauty.com. Thank you.
Oh. And at stores,
yes.
Okay, one last question. Surprise question, Kimchi.
Yes.
To send us off. What's the last dish you'll eat before you die?
Gasp.
You know what? This is going to sound very
cancel
basic.
Her.
No. It's not going to sound. It's going to sound very, very, very basic, but I think I would want a bowl of rice with two sunny side egg cooked in butter. Mm. And then really good European butter and soy sauce all mixed together with a side of perfectly ripe kimchi. Just, you know, just like comfort meal.
It sounds so homey and tasty.
Oh, in my home when we were growing up, I love eggs. So, I mean, I've taught you the omelet with the scramble with the fish sauce. Sunny side eggs burnt to a crispy edges with maji.
Oh yeah,
not soy sauce, but
maji.
The seasoning sauce.
The seasoning sauce are like off. It's like off soy sauce a little bit, and it's really
Wait,
cheap.
Is
it's like
the MSG
the red
stuff.
Bottle. Yeah, basically.
Oh my God, I always thought it was called Maggi.
I think
did I just
it
did I just like Western? Did I Westernize it? Oh God!
Wait, hold on a second. I have to pee really bad. All of a sudden, it hit me. I'll be right back.
Okay. No, so it's, I don't know if it's Maggi or Maji. I just know my parents called it Maji, and it's like my favorite thing to put.
I think I just called it the white way, Maggi. Yeah. I have a bottle. I haven't been using it.
Yeah, you put it right in the like yolks, a lot of it. And then you put it on toast. Oh, on toast, but then on rice would also be good.
Just a reminder to everyone, MSG is fine. You're racist if you think it's bad for you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's butter. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, and you're back just in time for us to say that people can follow us on Literally Gaysians on TikTok and Instagram. And now YouTube and Patreon.
Yay. So support your community artists. That's us. We're artists. And subscribe to our Patreon. Come to our YouTube. Love us.
Yes. Subscribe. Bye.
See you later. See you in the next episode.
Bye. Thanks, Kim.